over here. No. That's all right. Well, I'm glad you have this big platform. We can... Yeah, get some... Yeah, all the way. I can jump that. Which one now? Where? Okay. I just threw him in last Sunday. But he'll come back out. You know he's going to come back out of the pit, right? All right. Take your Bible. I've never been here before. I've never met your pastor before. Go to Exodus chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 11. And my wife is and I are down here for some medical reasons. Her name is Jane, and I hope you'll pray for her. So we came down here earlier this week, or actually last week now. And I met your pastor. I called him on the telephone. I asked him, does he know any motels where he might get a good rate? Pastors do that to me all the time, because we get some better rates at motels. And he said, well, we have a prophet's chamber here. So he was gracious enough to allow us to stay in that prophet's chamber. And I want to thank Pastor Hoffman for that, and just allowing me the opportunity to preach. I didn't expect to. I wasn't, some guys call you up, hey, I'll be in the area. What time's your church start? You know, you can look it up on the internet, you know. You know what I mean. And they're just looking for a meeting. And I know pastors do that, and they've done it to me. I've done it. So he asked me to preach this morning, and I said, okay, I will, Lord willing, and so I hope I can be a blessing to you. I'm raised in North Dakota, although I live in Montana. I started a church there in 1981, but I got saved in 1976, I'll tell you real quick. I was raised Roman Catholic, actually a little Lutheran for 9 years, and then my mom and dad got divorced in 1955, and I was 9 years old. My mom put me in the Catholic Church and then made me John Paul Habman instead of John Luther Habman. And that's, you can get that, I hope, if you think about it for a while. And back in the 50s, Martin Luther was still was bad news for the Catholic Church. He isn't anymore, you know, and except behind the doors. I went to college for 10, 11 years. I was a school teacher and a coach, basketball and baseball. And then in 1976... a farmer, a dairy farmer, and in the middle of North Dakota, central North Dakota, led me to the Lord. He was a Gideon, and he led me to the Lord at his kitchen table about 11 o'clock on a Wednesday night, May 5th, 1976. And I ain't never been the same! I hope that's with you, too. I've never been the same. I met my wife 9 days later. 6 weeks later, we got married, and it's been a wild ride. You know, my son said to my wife the other day, she said, Mom, because she's got cancer, and she said, Mom, you've lived 3 lifetimes already. And she lived one. Her dad died when she was 13 years old. She was the oldest of 5 kids. And then she lived that life, and she trusted the Lord by reading a gospel tract when she was 13. But she never lived for the Lord, was raised in a Lutheran church, never grew. And then at 27 years of age, she met me. And then, so that was the first life. Then she met me, and we've been in the ministry 37 years. And that's another lifetime. And now she's got this cancer thing, and that's another one. And she's been with me all these years and has been just my faithful wife and a faithful partner in the ministry. And so that's where we're at. Let me just go to Exodus chapter 1 and hold your place in Hebrews chapter 11. And then let's read in Exodus, and you know the story. You read your Bible, and you know that Pharaoh is starting a genocide on the on Israel, and he's just panicking because they're growing, and he doesn't want the land was filled with them, the Bible says, and as they're in under his rule in Egypt, and so he starts commanding the midwives to kill the children. And pick it up here in verse number 22, and for time's sake. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." Now I've got to read a number of scripture here. Look at chapter 2, verse number 1. And you better look in your Bible, or I might pull the wool over your eyes. Amen. The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word, search the scriptures, something like that, to whether those things were so. And you ought to check every preacher out. Amen. Is he lining up with the book? Verse number 1 of chapter 2, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And her sister stood afar off, to wit, what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me. Isn't that a blessing? Puts Moses in the, wasn't called Moses yet, but puts the child in the river and, bye-bye, put him in God's hand. And then she gets to be a nurse to it. I mean, it's just like Hannah lending her her boy to the Lord, amen. And she got, only son, and then she got some other children afterwards. And you can't outgive the Lord. And you can't go wrong by trusting in God. And verse number 8, and Pharaoh's daughter said, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. And she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter and became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens and spied an Egyptian smite in Hebrew one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy brother? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killedest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Verse 15. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now go back over here to Hebrews chapter 11. And what I want to talk to you, there's another chapter in the Bible, Acts chapter 7, where it gives a little of Moses' history also. I may refer back to the time permitting this morning. But in chapter 11, there's some more details given about that. And I want to preach to you this morning and teach and preach whatever give you the Word of God and some ingredients out of this passage in Hebrews chapter 11, some ingredients, some things that determine life's direction. That's the name of my message. That's the title of my message. Ingredients that determine life's direction. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. I thank you for this pastor. I thank you for this church. I thank you there's a lighthouse in this city. Oh God, thank you for that. Thank you for the Word of God today, and thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and dying on that old cross, shedding his blood in our place for our sins. Thank you for the free salvation that he offers to everyone. Thank you for the redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And God, I pray, help me now to be a blessing to you, to this pastor, to this congregation, and Lord, that all things said and done would honor and glorify you. I really mean that, Lord. Please help me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, you can see by reading the passage, Moses is born into a Hebrew family, and then he is so adopted, you might say, into Pharaoh's family. And he was learned, the Bible says, in all the ways of the Egyptians. And he was taught in their school system, you might say. And but Moses' direction changed at that day when he found out that he wasn't Hebrew, and what he did to that, rescued those Hebrews and killed that Egyptian, and then he fled from Hebrew Pharaoh. And his direction changed. And by the way, that's all what God wants all of us to encounter at some point or another, is wants our direction to change. My life changed drastically when I came to Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. He hath quickened me. I was dead in my trespass and sin. And before that, I walked according to the course of this world and all of that. And I was not a good man. Not a good man, I know, but I was not good at all. I was raised in the 60s and the 70s. And if you're raised in that age, I was right in the middle of it. I was a big problem. Even as a school teacher, you wouldn't want me around your kids. In fact, they tried to get rid of me when I was teaching in school, and I kicked them out of the school, even the school board. I mean, I got the lawyers, and long stories. Well, I was not, but my direction changed when I trusted Jesus Christ. And God wants your direction to change. That's called repentance. When you change your mind about God and change your mind about your life, and then you put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him change your direction. And God's not too concerned about where you were yesterday. Are you hearing me? Listening? He's concerned what you want to do today. And so I want to show you some ingredients that helped Moses. And I see in chapter 11 and verse number 22, if you look there with me, or verse number 23 this morning, the very first thing I want to say, what changed Moses' direction was parental influence. His parents' influence on his life. Notice verse number 23. It says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his what? Parents. And it wasn't Moses' faith at this point in life. He's only 3 months old, okay? But it was his parents' faith. It says, by faith. I mean, they put that little ark in the water and trusted him to God. Now, they had seen that he was a goodly child. In fact, he was exceeding fair, Stephen says. And it says in verse number 23 again, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, the rest of the verse, because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. The king said, kill them all. You know that. And by the way, I mean, getting ahead of myself, but that's okay. If you'll look down here in verse number 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing. You know what they passed on to him? They passed on to him the fear of God. They passed on him some courage. They passed on to him some good things. And I say to you, they passed on him their faith. And I'll get into that in just a little while. But notice in verse, listen, Moses' direction changed because of his parents. Parents out here this morning, and I'm looking and I see a good number of younger parents out here, and that's very good. You can't sit back and hope your kids will do right. You can't leave them in a vacuum. I'll tell you, I guarantee you that Satan will fill that vacuum with his things. You can't sit back and hope your kids will do right. You've got to teach them to do right. And Moses' parents influenced his life. And if your kids turn out and my kids turn out, and I understand circumstances, I deal with it all the time, it'll be because of you. Your children can be a blessing or a curse. I want to go like this. A blessing or a curse? It depends on you. It depends on me. And by the way, it says, I know back there in Exodus chapter 1, it says that Moses' mother put her in, but here it says his parents. It was a mom and dad effort. There has to be teamwork in this thing called, in this thing we call child rearing. I mean, in other words, you got to be on the same page. That makes sense to you? Go like this. Okay, good. You're going to have to do that or we'll be here all day. There's got to be some teamwork on this thing. I thank God when I got saved and I met my wife and we got together. I want to tell you something. We both wanted to go in the same direction, and by the grace of God, we've been on the same page for almost 40 years. And you're going to have to get on the same page with this thing about child rearing. Notice something that they did. They saw that he, look at it, they saw that in verse number 23, that he was a proper child. He was a proper child. That means he was suitable. The word proper means suitable for a specific purpose. They recognized his worth. Do you know when you get that? I saw a bunch of little babies around here this morning. I love them all. I got 22 grandchildren, okay? And I think I got one about that big. I mean, I got them all sizes. And the oldest one's going to be 16 here pretty soon. And she's going to Vietnam with her dad, C. Mike Roberts. I think Becca's got the youngest one right now, and Avi. But they saw when you got that little bit. Listen, I started praying for my kids before they were born. I used to go in there and pray for that little baby that was in my wife's. You know, she looked like it had a watermelon in there, and I prayed for that thing. And even when that little baby was in a crib, I'd go there at night and I'd pray and I'd quote verses in the ears of that little baby why? Because I wanted God to use that kid. I say that kid, listen, as arrows are, hey, children are an heritage of the Lord, aren't they? And as arrows in a man's quiver, listen, they're like arrows and you got to point that arrow in the right direction. And I ask God to help me. And I saw that there's something in that kid. And every baby in here, every kid in here, there is something. That kid can be used of God. And boy, do we need that today. We need that today. Hey, go raise a kid for God. Amen. Raise a bunch of them. Fill this place up with them. Have some babies. Need any counseling on that? They saw that. Notice something. Take your Bible, would you hold your place, but just look at it, the first part of the verse. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. Take your Bible, go over here to 2 Chronicles chapter 22. Come on. You got to go there. 2 Chronicles chapter 22. And they hid him. You know what? Remember Rahab? She hid the spies. Remember that? Remember Obadiah? He hid those prophets. Hide them from what? Hide them from the enemies. That's what Rahab did. That's what Obadiah did. And what you do, you protect those kids. You hide them from... Listen, this world wants to gobble them up. And you protect them from it. I won't say it. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 22. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 22. You know, Jehu, he's taking care of business, you know. And he killed Azariah. I think it was Azariah here, chapter 22. And Amaziah, excuse me, verse 13. And they killed, that's not the right verse. Yeah, verse number 10. And when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabath, the daughter of the king, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, she, what? Hid him. Hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. And where did she hide him? And look at verse 12. And he was with them, hid where? Say it to me. The house of God. That's a good place to put your kids. In church. Amen. Now we got church tonight, I think. Come on in. Everybody ought to be here tonight. Amen. Well, my kids, they might go to sleep. Well, it's better for them to sleep under the pew or on the pew than in front of the boob tube. Bring them in. You'd be surprised what those kids pick up. Oh, boy. And they do. Hey, Dad, you know, yelling at your wife. The preacher said you're not supposed to yell at Mom. Oh, yeah, I thought that kid was shut up. I thought you were sleeping. They weren't sleeping. They're listening, man. She hit him. It's a good place to hide him. In church. Our kids, Daniel, he's my youngest son, pastors a church that I started in 1981 in Bismarck. This is the 18th year today. No, I mean, 34 years ago today that I started that church. And they're just getting into a brand new 21,000 square foot building today. He wanted me to preach it, but I just couldn't make it. But he was born in a clinic, and 2 hours later we were sitting in a restaurant having a salad, my wife and I, and that was on a Wednesday or Thursday, and he was in church on Sunday. We believe in baptizing them, getting them in there early, and no, just joking. He'd been in church all his life. All his life. Back here to Hebrews chapter 11. Come on now. Hey, you know what those kids can't do? They can't hide themselves. They're babies. They're children. They're stupid. Sorry, bud. They're airheads. Especially, I'm not going to say it. You'll think I'm a male chauvinist pig or something. But I'm not. I'm a male chauvinist sheep. Anyway, go back here to Hebrews. You want, hey, listen, Moses' life changed. And I'll tell you what, you can mark it down to tonight or this morning that it changed because his parents influenced him in the right direction. They protected him. They watched over him. Well, now watch this. Now watch this. Look over here in verse number 23 again. When Moses, by faith, when his was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now watch. Here comes Moses. Here's the second thing. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It says, by faith, Moses. Now Moses got some faith when he was come to years, when he started growing up, when he was come to years. In fact, the Bible says he was full grown. He was 40 years old. And, he started growing up. I mean, he was growing up at 40 years of old. I kind of feel like, when's it going to happen to me? I mean, really, I was 30 years old, and I still wasn't grown up. I was 40 years old, and I feel still like I'm a kid and act like a kid sometimes. What's wrong with me? I don't know. I'm sure you can figure it out. I'm sure you're figuring it out right now when you're sitting there. He's nuts. I am nuts. I'm nuts about God and doing something for God. I'm crazy about Him. I was a fool for the devil 30 years. I'm going to be a fool for God for the next... I have been for 40 years. But God, he said, when he was come to years, watch it now, by faith. Listen, that's that individual's relationship with God. You know what'll change your direction? There comes a time when you have to get that thing squared away. Your relationship to God, and it's by faith. That Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And you have to, listen, the day I established a relationship with God is when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. The door was open. There's one God and one mediator between God and man. the man Christ Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the door. If any man open the door, I will come into him, and I'll come unto him. And he did come into me. And my relationship with God was fixed that day when I put my faith in him and I realized, well, I'm accountable to him. I'm accountable to him. My son, listen, my son David, he was a missionary in Tonga. Now he pastors a church in Kalispell. He got up in the pulpit here a number of years at our church, and he said this. Listen to me now, all of you young people. He said this. He said, for 30-some years, I've lived on the faith of my parents. But I decide now I need to get my own faith. And young people, you can live and your parents will direct your life, hopefully, as they trust God. But there comes a point when you have to get your own faith. You have to trust God yourself. I don't know when that is. I'd say right now would be a good day. I'd say today is a good day to even get saved. It's a great day to get saved. You see, you're not born a Christian. You're born again a Christian. And you need a relationship. And Moses' life changed because he got his own faith. Are you following me? He says in verse 4, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's God. He believed God. He trusted God. He had established a personal responsibility with God. A day of reckoning. Hey, listen, when you do, it'll be the greatest day of your life. It'll be the best day of your life. Verse number 24. But faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now notice verse 25 and 26. Are you with me this morning? A little bit? Good. He says, by faith, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know, Moses' life changed because, and it will with yours, because you are going to have an inescapable encounter with decisions. There comes a time when you're going to have to choose. Am I going to go this way? Or am I going to go this way? You going to go the broad way? Or are you going to go the narrow way? Are you going to go the most well-worn path? Or are you going to go the path that doesn't have very many footprints on it? I'll tell you, the path that doesn't have very many footprints on it is the path you're going to have to go. It's a narrow way. It's Jesus Christ is the only way. And it's going to have to be the path. Listen, people choose these days the path of least resistance. It's not that path. And he had to make some choices. Joshua said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Elijah said to the prophets, Baal, he said, choose you this day. If Baal be Baal, serve him. If God be God, how long halt ye between two opinions? If God be God, follow him. If Baal be Baal, follow him. There is an inescapable encounter with a decision. For some of you out here this morning, and I'll go back a second, it's that you need to decide right now, I am going to get saved. I'm going to give him. You are a sinner and under the condemnation of God, and without Jesus Christ, you will go to hell, and you need to make that decision right now. I will accept Him. I will receive Him. I will believe in Him today. That decision. For some of you, there you need to go a step further in your Christian life. Maybe God's calling you to a particular ministry or calling you to this or that, and you need to make that decision. Choose. And we all come to it. We all come to that in our lives. And notice what He had to do here. Here's the choices that He had, and here's the choices you have. Notice the Scripture. It says, choosing, watch this now, you got to watch this to get this. Choosing rather to suffer with the affliction with the people of God. Choosing rather to suffer affliction rather with the people of God. Watch this now, here's the comparison. Rather to enjoy. Either suffer or enjoy. And He chose to suffer. That's the path of the most resistance. That's the path when there's going to be troubles. Listen, all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And He had to make that choice. And He made the choice. I know that, but you have to make choices. Notice something else. It says suffer and enjoy. Notice the verse again. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures. It's either affliction or the pleasures of this life. Are you with me? That's it. In the last days, that Bible said men will be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's what's going on. That's what's going on in Christianity today. Choosing. I think we'll just go boating this afternoon for the rest of the day or the weekend. I hope nobody. Or hunting season. I tell you what, hunting season starts back there just the day we have a missions conference. That's the forethought I have. And you always got guys that just go hunting on that weekend and don't go to church. Now, I don't know. If I say something that your pastor doesn't agree with, listen to him and not me, okay? I'm sorry. I don't mean to. Pastor, do you? What about what he said? You said this. Pastor Havman said that. Well, believe Hoffman and not Havman, okay? I don't mean to. I would never want to do that. But I'll tell you, I had a guy in my church years ago. First guy ever in the Lord. He'd always go hunting on Sunday. I'd pray, Lord, make him miserable. And he'd go out there and he wouldn't get a thing. And I made the mistake of telling him I'm praying that he'd be miserable. I grew up with the guys. First guy ever led to the Lord. Led his wife to the Lord, too. And he said, "Whoa, I'm going to pray at blizzards when you go on vacation." And he fought that thing and fought that thing and fought that thing. And even when I left that church after 6 years and went out to Missoula, Montana, started church, he still was doing about that. The Sunday that he finally got the victory over it and didn't go on. And then why do they open it on Sunday anyway? Yeah, slap them silly. The world's against you. And by the way, that's the Lord doing it, testing you, by the way. Hello, Dolly. Okay. The first Sunday that he never went hunting on Sunday, I want to tell you folks, I've killed elk. And my boys have shot some bull elk. I've never shot a bull elk, but I get the cows. They're easier. But the Sunday, now he's in North Dakota. They don't have elk there yet. Or maybe in the western part. But he got the biggest white-tailed buck. It was like a mini elk the next Monday, on Monday, when he didn't go on Sunday. I'm telling you, you got to make some choices. You're going to serve God? Huh? It's not easy. There's some things you're going to have to go without. Amen. You can't just do everything you want to do. I'm trying to help you this morning. He says, verse number 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. Notice the comparison between the people of God and sin. Notice the comparison between, I'll go quickly here. He said, the people of God, then to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, God's eternal, a season is temporal. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, quickly now. Come on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, look at it. Listen, there is the choice between the eternal and the temporal. Moses made it for the eternal. You know how long the eternal is? Forever. You know how the temporal is? It's going to burn up and blow up. And notice verse number 18. It says, verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Watch verse 18. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Have a nice house. Have a nice car. I got a nice pickup. I really do. I got a nice greenhouse. I got a nice, I'm made out of cedar. It's just nice. I got a nice house, okay? That's fine. But don't put all your things into this world. Because it's all going to burn up. It's all going to get old. It's all going to get a chip on it. It's all going to get a scratch on it. But set your affections on things above. Think about the eternal. Moses thought about the eternal, that was more important than just the temporal, which was the treasures of Egypt. He was Pharaoh's son. He was probably next in line to be Pharaoh. And he forsook all that for the people of God and God himself and God's will for his life. And you got probably one of the most popular people in the Bible is Moses. You got five books written by him called the Pentateuch. He's got a legacy. Notice back here to Hebrews. Hope I'm making sense. I think I am. Notice this. Just about done here. I'm trying to look at the clock here. I know you got an afternoon service. It said in verse number 26, he says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had recompense unto the had respect unto the recompense of the reward." He took Christ instead of the world, Egypt. He took the riches of Christ rather than the treasures. Listen, make money. Amen. Listen, you ought to make a lot of money. That's okay. You can make a lot of money. Give a lot of money. Amen. Give until it hurts. But make some money and do it. God gives you for a purpose that you may have to give to them that have need. And get by as simple as you can in life. And invest in the work of God. I knew you were going to start talking about money. There it is. Oh, yeah, I knew they all talk about money all the time. Well, that's all they ever talk about down at Walmart, too. Every time I go there, that'll be $5.38. Here, you got tax. We don't have tax there. Move to Montana. I'll tell you lastly. I got to go. Go to verse number 27. He says, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." He forsook Egypt. Listen, what's that world ever done for you? You know all the world ever did for me? Heartaches. Hangovers. Horrendous things. Amen. Wake up in the morning and say, "Boy, I had a good time last night. I wonder what I did." I said, "Man, my pocket was full of money on Friday night when I got paid, and I get up Saturday morning or Sunday morning, and hardly anything's left." What'd the world ever do for you? The world's merciless. He forsook Egypt. He got away from the world. He didn't want to even be identified with it. And how did he do that? Look at verse 27. It says, "By faith he forsook." By faith again. Hey, he forsook. He's just going to trust God, not fearing the wrath of the king. You see, he got that. He didn't fear Pharaoh. I'll tell you why. Because he feared God. You know what the fear of God will do? The fear of God. You know what it'll do? I'm going to tell you something. It'll draw you closer to God. It won't drive you like this. It'll draw you want to get close to Him. You want to stay in Him. You want to please Him. You don't want to displease Him and risk His disfavor or His displeasure upon your life. It'll draw you closer to Him. How did He do all this? I'm going to give it to you and I'm done. It says in verse number 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, watch it, for he endured as seeing Him that is invisible. That's how he did it. You can't see God today. God told us the just shall live by what? Faith and not by sight. But he got a hold of God. He saw Him. He endured. He hung with it. He stuck with it. He was persecuted. You know that. I mean, they cast Him out. He fled from Pharaoh. Even when He went back, they wanted to kill Him. You understand, even His own people wanted to kill Him later on and get rid of Him. But how did He get? I'll tell you what. He got a hold of God. He saw Him who is invisible. Oh, I have never seen Him. We will see Him someday. But how did he endure? How did he keep with it? He trusted God. He hung on to God. He got behind God and said, okay, you're going that way. I'm hanging on for dear life. And folks, I've done it for almost 40 years. I want to tell you something. See, have you had problems? Yeah, I'm the biggest. Have you had trials? Lots of them. Have you had people stab you in the back? The ones I helped the most. But I've still enjoyed the ride. And I'm a happy man. And I'm happy because of Him. Moses' direction had changed. And I'll tell you what, it took some real guts to do that. It says, not fearing the wrath of the king. You got any guts today? You know what I mean by guts. I mean intestinal fortitude. That's what they say, but that just means guts. You got any guts today? You know what? If you got guts, you'll trust Jesus Christ. If you got the guts, you'll step out and you'll stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ like He did. If you've got guts, you'll live for God. He had guts. You know why some people don't endure? It's just like the parable, they had no root. The root is Jesus Christ. He's the one that'll give you the strength. I'm a chicken by nature. Bawk, bawk, bawk. I never really had a dad that could teach me some character things. I just ran wild. Had some good coaches, some coaches that beat the fire out of me, and that was good for me. But I've been a chicken for the most part, but I'll tell you what, the things that for God that I've been able to stand up is because of Him. And He's the one that gives you the courage. Why don't you ask Him for it today? Let's bow for prayer. You know, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. Let me ask you this question while our heads are bowed and eyes closed. Please, are you His today? Are you here this morning? Have you ever put your faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul? Do you know for certain if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Do you know that you've been forgiven? Would you like to be forgiven? Well, you get a package deal in Jesus Christ. You get eternal life. You get forgiveness of sins. You get His Holy Spirit. The Bible becomes open. You get to know some people that are genuine. It's been a real good thing. You get the package deal with Jesus Christ. The benefits are, like they say, out of this world. And you say, I have received Him as my Savior. Just slip your hand up if you don't mind. I've received him as my Savior. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Someone in here, you can't raise it, or you won't raise it, or you don't want to. I don't know. But you would lift. Maybe you're signifying that you don't know, but that you'd like to know. Said, I'd like to know God. I'd like to know about this salvation. I'd like to know and make sure I'm going to heaven. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up. Young person, older person, anybody. Slip it up and put it down. God bless you. I see that hand. Anywhere else? Say, pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm not a Christian. I've never been born again. What's this, born again? I've never been. Would you pray for me? Anybody else? Okay. Right down here. I see those hands. Now, one last question. How about you in here this morning? Say, preacher, I want the direction of my life to change. I want to be a good parent. I want to be a good parent. I see what's going on in this world, and I want to be a better parent. I want to have the faith like Moses had and his parents had. I want to have that courage like Moses had and his parents had. I'd like that. I've got some decisions to make, and they're difficult, and I want to make the right decision. Would you pray for me? Anybody in here like that? God bless you. You, a good number. God, help them. Anybody else? All right. Now, Lord, this morning, I thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for its plainness. And Lord, I trust that you've helped, and you've spoken to hearts, has been indicated here. And I pray for every need, those that need to be saved, that they would, those that need to just be better parents, God give them strength, God help them with decisions that they have to make, just help them, everything to be done in the light of the Word of God and the will of God by the Spirit of God, and that the things which are eternal would be put on the, get the preeminence with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the things that are temporal, just to use them. And use them as you would have us to glorify you. Oh God, have your way in the hearts of the people here. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Brother.
Excuse me. If you'd like. And any of the altar.